You're listening to Creepy Unsolved with Dylan and Sabrina. Creepy Unsolved is recorded in front of a live audience on YouTube every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Come join us in the chat. We also have a brand new website. Visit creepyunsolved.com today. On our website, you will find all of your favorite podcast episodes, YouTube videos, blog postings, and much more. If you would like to be a future guest on the show, please fill out our guest intake form on our website or email us at creepyunsolvedmedia@gmail.com. Before we begin, we would like to give a special shout out to all of our Patreon members. Thank you so much for your continued support. If you'd like to support the show, consider becoming a Patreon member by following the link in the show notes. And we are live for real this time. Before I jump into tonight's episode and introduce the guest, you know, I just wanted to take a moment and thank you, the listeners. You know, whether you're listening to us live here on YouTube every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, or joining us at a later date on our podcast format, we greatly appreciate all of your support. You know, I also wanted to give a big shout out to our Patreon members. You know, thank you so much for your monthly contributions. These are very much appreciated. If you're listening from home right now and you're considering becoming a Patreon member for Creepy Unsolved, you can do so by following the link in the description below. Also, be sure to check out our website, creepyunsolved.com. It is packed full of your favorite podcast episodes, YouTube videos, and blogs. And while you're there, be sure to leave us a review. This will help our podcast grow. If you'd like to be a future guest on Creepy Unsolved, or you have a guest suggestion for us, please send me an email at creepyunsolvedmedia@gmail.com. So tonight's guest is a lifelong fan of the paranormal, an experiencer herself. She has an interest in paranormal investigations, and she currently works backstage for Creepy Unsolved Media. She's been helping out with research, writing, and scheduling. She is also the host of the newest show being produced by Creepy Unsolved Media, Midnight in the Mountains. So look for future episodes of Midnight in the Mountains weekly. Hey, Laura, welcome to Creepy Unsolved Live. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. Now that we got, this thing going live this time, that was a good call on your end. Thanks for letting me know.
Oh, sure. Of course.
You know, everybody listening, I'm sorry that we're late. I ran into some technical difficulties with my new interface, but I'm happy to say that my internet is fixed, so we shouldn't have any interruptions tonight. So,
knock on wood on that.
Yeah. So, like I was saying in the intro, Laura is actually, or she's been helping me out backstage with researching and writing and scheduling future guests, and I greatly appreciate all you've done for me. And I'm very excited to launch your new podcast on Creepy Unsolved Media. So, you know, kind of to kick off tonight's show, I had a question for you. What sparked your interest in the paranormal? I feel like that'd be a good starting point for us.
Yeah. Ever since I was like a young kid, I've always loved a good creepy ghost story. And I remember my mom always watching Unsolved Mysteries, and I'd always like jump in her bedroom and sit at the end of her bed and watch it. And it scared the hell out of me, but I loved every second of it. And then a couple, maybe 2 years ago, I found out kind of what podcasts were, and I kind of jumped on that, and I looked for ghost stories and stuff. And then I kind of looked into the missing people, the missing 411 stuff. And then after that, I just found all these podcasts and they're talking about cryptids. And I'm like, what the hell is a cryptid? Had no clue. And then I hear all this stuff and it's like, oh my gosh. And then I'm just like completely hooked even more. So just totally just spiraled from there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I feel like we have a lot of the same backgrounds. Like ever since I was a young kid, you know, I've been exposed to scary stories and, you know, scary movies and all of that, probably from a way younger age than I should have been. Like everybody else was watching like Disney, Nickelodeon. And I'm like
5 or 6 years old watching slasher films. I'm watching like Freddy and Jason and Michael Myers and Candyman and like anything you can think of, name it. And my interest in this just grew and grew and grew. Like everything has to be scary stories for me. Like whenever I'm watching a movie, it has to be a scary movie. I remember like a channel I was obsessed with growing up is always sci-fi. Like everything on there I was watching. You know, I remember watching with my grandpa all the time. Then going forward, yeah, like you said, Unsolved Mysteries, that's a big influence for this podcast. Mm. X-Files alike, just anything down that kind of realm. You know, like you said, podcast too. Like I listen to a lot of different scary podcasts, a lot of stuff that covers the paranormal and cryptids and, you know, the missing phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And all along those lines. And yeah, I don't want to make it all about me, but I feel like we share a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
Here.
Oh yeah. No, like if you go in my phone, my whole podcast list is like, actually my friend asked me the other day what I listened to. And I was like, oh, you know, a handful of stuff. And I actually typed them all out. And it was like this long on my phone of all these paranormal shows. I was like, oh my gosh. So yeah, for sure. That's what I listen to all day long. Can't get enough of it.
You definitely introduced me to quite a few new ones that I've never heard of. I've kind of been sticking in like one little bubble and not really like I know what I like. And, you know, mm-hmm. you really exposed me to some new ones I really like.
Yeah.
And sure. I remember when we were talking, you said you did some paranormal investigations yourself. And that was your episode that you appeared on was on a podcast that you introduced me to. So do you want to take a moment and talk about that?
So the one, there's two that I think you're thinking of. The one, I went on a trip with the Confessionals podcast. Tony Merkel is the host, and they put this trip on. We went up to, it's like the Catskills of New York State, and it's the Burnbrae Mansion. And it's supposedly like super haunted. There's supposedly 17 spirits that are there. We went in with a paranormal investigation group. And I think there was like maybe like 15 people that went on this trip other than Tony and his wife. And it was pretty interesting. We did three rooms that we did what we call the lockdown. We went into the rooms, and the one room we did like a ghost box. And we didn't really, like, we asked some questions and we'd get some kind of like static responses, and then it just shut off. And then the rest of the night, it didn't work for anybody else. And then when we're in there, we heard footsteps outside and the door is shut. And it sounded like somebody's walking up and down the hall. And the one woman that was with us in the group opened the door, nobody in the hallway. And oh, wow. Then we moved to another room, and same thing happened. And the woman that was in that room, because there was three women that were doing it, and they were like hosted in each room.
Yeah.
And same thing happened in that room. And they opened the door, nobody was there. And then I got to be in the group. It was lucky. I ended up being in Tony's group, which was cool. And he had a K2 meter. And every time, so the second room we were in, every time he went into this little closeted area, it was actually a hidden room. The people that owned the place didn't even know it was in there. So the story goes, I guess, that it was a baby's room and the baby had passed away, and they bricked up the wall and closed it over, and they didn't even know it was in there. And when they opened it up, they found there was actually stuff in the room still, like the crib and all those kinds of things. So then anytime Tony would go in there with the K2 meter, it would just go insane. Wow. And then we went, yeah. And then we were asking like questions, and every time we'd ask questions, we'd get hits like off the K2 meter. It would respond. We wouldn't, no. You know, and
what
we'd
kind
be talking.
Questions are you asking these?
Oh gosh. I think we were asking like, you know, are you mad that we're here? Is anybody stuck here? I can't even remember everything. That was back in June.
Yeah.
So just, we were getting in, like, intelligent responses, which was pretty interesting. And it then after,
very interesting.
After that room, we went into the attic next, and we were standing and the lights were off, and we're standing in there for quite some time. And I started feeling these cold, this cold air on my legs, like on my thighs. And I had jeans on, and it was hot. It was back in June, so it was warm. And everybody's like, oh, maybe there's a breeze coming through the door, and the door was shut. I'm like, no, guys, like, I'm not making this up. And then I started feeling like this cold on the back of my neck. And then another woman started having like pressure in her chest, and she was like really uncomfortable. So then someone else from the outside opens up the door and comes in. And the woman is standing in the doorway with her boyfriend talking to us. And she's like, oh, guys, like, my legs are really cold. And I was like, see, I told you. But so there's that. And then we went and we did the dowsing rods, which were just crazy. Yeah. Like, someone was asking questions, and then she would say to the person, the spirit that was controlling the dowsing rods, supposedly it was a little girl that passed away in the mansion, tragically. And, you know, she'd say, who do you want to do them next? And then they ended up pointing to me. So I went up and I sat there and I held them and I did them. And it's just insane, because it's like, I don't know if anybody, if you've ever used them, or if anybody in the chat's ever used them. Well,
we've used them at work, but for a completely different thing, you know?
Yeah. Like now, water and stuff.
Or, just to, can you kind of explain what exactly these dowsing rods are and what they're kind of used for people who don't know?
So they're, I honestly don't really know how they work. I don't know if it's energy or what, but so picture a very small, I think these was like, these were made out of copper, very small hollow copper pipe, and then copper wire coming up, and it's shaped like an L. And so they're just loose. So you're holding the outsides of the copper pipe with this wire inside so that it can spin around, right? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you hold it and then you ask questions and you say, can you push them to the left, push them to the right? And they would respond. The spirit would make them move. And you could actually feel like at certain points, the spirit was struggling to do it, but then they would get it and you could feel it moving. It was just the craziest thing ever. The
weirdest like feeling ever, like, because they're probably physically touching that and moving it. Like, that's how I imagine it.
And honestly, that's exactly what it was. Like if I was holding them and you were sitting there and you were pushing on them, like, it was like somebody was pushing on them, but I just couldn't see anybody. Wow. That's exactly what it was. It was insane. So then after all that, we go to bed midnight, 1 o'clock. I don't even know. And I'm just tossing and turning, completely so uncomfortable. I asked one of the girls if I could sleep with her because I wasn't sleeping alone.
Now,
I
had you stayed at this place?
Yeah, we stayed overnight.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Which, So, yeah. So I just had this bad feeling, and I'm trying to go to sleep. It's like 4 a.m. And I'm laying on my side and I'm finally starting to doze off, and I feel something touch my upper thigh, and I snap awake and I'm like, oh my God. Like, all right. I'm like praying to God. I'm like, all right, just leave me alone. Like, I don't want any part of this. Like, do this in the morning if you want to talk to me, whatever. Close my eyes. I'm drifting off again and I feel it again. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is just insane. So apparently I was the only one that got touched, but there's these two other women that went to bed earlier than the rest of the people. Mm-hmm. They said when they went to bed, it sounded like the wind was howling outside and they heard weird dogs barking.
Wow.
But there was other people that went outside for cigarettes and stuff.
They never heard it.
There was no dogs. There was no wind howling. There was nothing.
That's crazy. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's other people that slept in the stables, which were maybe 100 yards from the mansion. And those were supposed to be really haunted. And the one girl said she felt like the end of her bed moved at night, but she wasn't sure. She didn't know if she just had it in her head or not. But, and then my one friend, Donnie, he said that he had some really messed up dreams, and he had a dream that felt like he was a little girl, like having this, like he was not himself. He was viewing this dream through her eyes, and it was like from the past. Super interesting.
I've had some dreams like that, like not in the past, but I've had dreams where I felt like I was someone else in these dreams.
Exactly.
It's weird. Like they went on for a couple months and like, I just don't dream anymore.
Ooh.
But this was like back in probably the earlier in this year. Like, really? I just like feel like I'm living someone else's life in these dreams. Like I was part of their life while I was sleeping. Like I'd wake up and I couldn't remember exactly what it was, but I knew I was dreaming, or when I was dreaming, I was like someone else. Like I ain't claiming that I was or anything, but like that just kind of relates to that. Like it's nuts.
Wow.
But after this investigation, did you guys like notice anything strange that came home with you potentially or anything?
No,
along those lines?
I made sure I used some Palo Santo and some incense with sage and stuff in it. Cause I was like, and I told it before I left, I was like, you have to stay here. Nothing is welcome to come with me. See you later.
Definitely. Like I've never been actually like paranormal investigating per se myself with like gear and all that stuff. But like growing up, we would visit different supposedly haunted places. Like there was a house on, conveniently enough, it was a road called Black Hole Road, and they had the Black Hole House, and a witch supposedly lived here. And it was a big like falling in house kind of with like a black lake in the background.
Oh wow.
Or in the backyard or whatever. And like we'd go in this place, like first when we went there, we're like around 10 probably, like our parents took us out there, and I don't know if this was real or not when it happened, but we went in and like you can go in the door or peek your head in the door and you can see up the stairs to go to the second floor. And while we're there, we like watched a brick roll down the steps, but I'm thinking like our stepfather tossed it up there and it rolled down or whatever. But we would go back when we're teenagers later on, you know, just driving out in the middle of the night, and we went there and like just this weird presence around the place. I don't know if it's built off for like previous memories of it or anything, but our one friend, while we're there, he fell through the floor into the basement, and it was probably the scariest shit we ever witnessed. Like we thought he was dead. Like it looked like he got impaled. Like you just see hair come over his face. He turned white. So like, we're like, holy shit, holy shit. And we had to pull him out of there. But anyway,
oh my God.
Like we did that. Then there was this other place, like you can look it up. It's called Ski Wing. It's in like, it's probably like 45 minutes from where I live. It's up in New York. And back in the 70s, this place, I guess these guys came in and shot up the place and stole a bunch of money, like killed a bunch of people here.
Oh my God.
And we visited this place like numerous times growing up. Like it's on a gated road. Like you have to like kind of, it ain't always locked because we got in there a couple times before they started locking it. But we went up there a couple different times, and we had this old Astro van my buddy had that we'd ride around in or whatever. And the one time we were there, we watched these handprints like appear on the window.
Really? Like,
it was crazy. Like we'd sit up there and like weird shit would happen. Like the radio would start acting funny. We'd see these handprints like show up all the way around this Astro van. And then we got out a couple different times and walked around with flashlights and stuff and looked in the old ski lodges. And like, we swore we heard people like running through the woods and like giggling and just the craziest shit.
Oh, that's
and like,
crazy.
That'll always like be, you know, imprinted in my mind whenever I think of that place.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, these people going out investigating these places and what they end up encountering. Like it's mind blowing.
Yeah, I have some minor things like that. If you want me to go into that, it's up to you. But
yeah, definitely.
So there's, oh my goodness, There's, I for sure. I mean, have you heard of being bluff charged by like Bigfoot or something?
No, I haven't. No?
Okay. So being bluff charged is like when you, it literally sounds and feels like something is running at you and going to come after you and attack you. But then you look and there's literally nothing there. Like, and there's many accounts of this.
I got like a story that happened to me. Not that I was being chased, but when I got out of the, when I got out of the army, would have been right after, because it went into bow season, and I was hunting a lot by myself early in the mornings. Like, I'm talking, like, I'd go out in the woods like 5 a.m, walk out in the pitch dark with no flashlight and set up. And, you know, I've told this on the podcast before, like way back when I talked to Connor Flynn about Bigfoot.
Connor.
So there's a spot near me. A lot of people from downstate come up and hunt this area. But the day I went out, I was the only truck there. There's only one like entrance to get into these different trails I go out. So I go into this knowing I'm the only one there. I'm walking out with my bow, pitch black in the middle of the woods. You know, I kind of stick to the trail. I go out, but like I grew up here. I know the ins and outs of these woods. Mm-hmm. So I break off from the trail. I'm walking through like the thick, and I'm stepping over like down trees and kind of, you know, wedging myself in between trees, walking, trying to be quiet. Mm-hmm. And I look ahead of me and I see, like, I kind of see these eyeballs. Like, I know what it is. It's a deer. I don't know if it's a doe or a buck or whatever, but I see this deer and it sees me or it hears me, and it kind of looks up at me or into the direction I am. And I kind of like, I'm standing still at this point. I'm like, it's way too early to take a shot. There's, you know, the sun's not up. I can probably wait it out, but he's probably going to be gone. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there just trying to be quiet, trying to be still, thinking of my next move. And, you know, eventually it gets startled and it takes off through the woods. And I'm like, well, that's strange. And like, I get startled, man. I feel like these chills coming down my back, and like, I don't know if my senses like heightened or whatever, mm-hmm. per se. But I noticed like the woods around me go still and like all the sounds are gone. And like, I don't know. I got out of there. I kind of like backed myself out of the woods, trying to not make a scene to let know, like, if there's something watching me, like a predator or something, to not kind of let it on to that. I'm terrified at this point. Mm-hmm. So I turn around, I make my way out, and I get to the trail, and like, I pick up my pace and I kind of jog, and then I run, I get back to my truck. So I don't, you know, I hop in, I'm like throwing my bow in the back seat and stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying it was Bigfoot or whatever, but like those moments, like I kind of wonder what would have happened if I didn't leave right then and there. And like, man, there's been a lot of different times with me and my brother, you know, together in separate occasions where we hear like voices in these woods. Like, I remember another time we were sitting out there bow hunting and we heard, you know, Connor referred to it as like Japanese talk or something like that.
Samurai chatter.
Yeah, samurai chatter. But we heard like off in the distance, like it's like close enough you can hear it, but it sounds far away enough that you can't really understand it. Mm-hmm. Like, we heard that in this same woods too. So I don't know if that's related or not. Like, it's all around the same like time period too. Like, it's nuts.
You should go on BFR our website. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I have. And right around here, there are multiple sightings.
Yep.
Like, so Denton Hill State Park. Now that I just gave away my location where I live.
I was just going to say, what are you doing?
back in the early 2000s, like probably around 2003, 2004, I'm thinking this is the right time. It's been a while since I read this story, but my dad even like told me later on, he's like, oh yeah, I remember that. There was this water truck driver. He's driving up past the state park, and it's like the elevation climbs pretty high. So it's a pretty steep mountain that you mm-hmm. go up. He watched a car in front of him as he's going up this hill. There was a like figure in the side of the road, like, you know, potentially like a black bear standing on its hind feet. And he watched the car like swerve out of the way and go around it. And that creature turned around and ran up the hill. Like this, it's steep too. Like it, the hill's like this, run up the hill on its back feet off into the woods. Another time or another account on BFRO, you can look it all up too.
Oh, I believe you.
Yeah, this is for everyone listening too. If you can look this up on BFRO, send me an email. I'll give you, you know, the area to look in. I ain't going to announce it right here, but there was, I believe it was a hunter in a tree stand, and he's out watch or, you know, out hunting, waiting for something to walk out. And something about he watched, he could see something moving behind trees or in between trees. And then he watched like these two ape-like creatures run across the hill uphill in the snow. Like you probably got 2 feet of snow you're running through.
Yeah.
He was saying it's like, they're going like close to 20 miles an hour, like crazy stuff like that. Then there's been a lot of like different calls and stuff around here, like screams in the night. And yeah, I'll send you the links later. You can look at them. But yeah, sorry to cut you off, but anyways,
oh, no.
You were starting with.
No, I want to hear more. Oh my gosh. But that just makes me think of like, what about getting a recorder and just like throwing it out in the woods somewhere and leaving it overnight? Like, oh,
we thought about doing that with trail cams or something.
Oh man, you're not going to get anything on trail cams. You hear about how like Bigfoot find those and they like smash them. For sure.
Duct tape a tape recorder to a tree or something.
Yeah, the tape recorder, but the trail cam, I wouldn't even waste my time, to be honest. You hear so much stuff that it just never works.
Just smash them.
Yeah, like for real. I've heard that. It's crazy. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So my experience was it was in Pennsylvania also. And we went, and this area is known for some weird stuff. It's known for Bigfoot reports. And the second I pulled in there, I just was like, oh my God, I don't like this place. Like I just immediately was just like, no. So we get out and we hike and we're hiking through the woods, and the place is just weird. And I remember hearing this like loud, it was like a distant howl or like growl almost off back behind me. And the two people I were with, they didn't hear it. And I was like, you guys, like I heard this. And we had a recorder going, but we never listened to the audio. And because I was actually with Chad from Strange Familiars podcast, and he gave the sound, the SD card to Tim Runner. He's the host of that show. And I don't think Tim ever did anything with it. So I don't even know where the card is now, but I'd really like to get my hands on it to see if anything picked up. But anyways, so the place is just weird, and we're hiking through, and there's these like, and you're not supposed to make fires there. And there's this weird little like circle ring campfire. And my sister and I just stopped and just like looked at each other, and we just felt creeped out just looking at it. Like no reason why, just felt weird. And later on we came across another one, but we didn't get creeped out the same way we did when we saw that one. So I don't know if that means anything, but it just felt kind of like maybe somebody's doing some kind of rituals or something like that, and we just got some kind of bad energy off of it.
You almost feel the dark energy. Yeah.
Exactly. And then we're hiking up. We went up kind of far, and it was starting to get dark. And Chad and my sister saw like these white lights in the trees. I didn't see them because I had my head turned. I was looking all around. And we kept smelling the whole time. We'd smell these weird smells, and they'd go away and they'd come back. And it was like nothing we've ever, it was like this almost like a sour beer smell. And just super unsettling. And Chad said, no matter what the weather is, when you go in there, there's always this fog that comes through. And maybe it's just, you know, the area that we're at and there's this fog and that's how it is. But also too, we all know that fog is related to paranormal, creepy stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So we're walking out and it's starting to get pretty dark. And when we get back to the end of our car, and I forgot to mention, when we first got there, it smelled like roadkill, like something had been dead and dying, and it was absolutely disgusting, like terribly gross. And there was also this pile of rotted, like teddy bears and stuffed animals and stuff. Okay, so now
that was, now at, that was at the beginning?
Yep, where we right where we parked our cars. I forgot to mention that. I'm sorry.
Holy cow. Yeah.
So then when we get back down, right, it doesn't smell anymore.
And I didn't, still there?
I'm assuming the teddy bears and stuff were still there, but that's, I'm not so saying weird. That's what made the smell, but they like, and it's weird that that would be in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
But yeah. So we now think about it. Like if there's like some dead animal, it's still going to smell.
Yeah. It just don't go away.
Yeah. So we get back to our cars and the smell's gone. It doesn't smell anymore. So we're walking to our cars and we had to like walk around one of those, you know, those big metal gates and stuff. We're trying to get through and we hear this noise in the woods. It sounds like something bipedal walking, like big and heavy. It did not sound like a deer. It sounded like it was on two legs. And I just immediately start freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, like, let's get in the car. Let's go. And we're hearing all this stuff, like leaves rustling, everything. And it's getting closer and closer. I'm like, let's go. And then Chad's over there, like looking in the woods, like, you know, like, okay, come out. Like, I want to see you. And I'm like yelling at him, get in the car. And I'm like scrambling my sister in the car. I get in the car. I like lock the doors. I'm like, let's go. Mm-hmm. And, absolutely just freaked out. And there's actually, like there's other, well, Tim has taken an encounter from there. And actually the guy that was on Tim's show was on Tony Merkel's show also.
Yeah.
And he had like, he did another part of his encounter. So it's known for like Bigfoot sightings and like some messed up stuff, but, and just driving out of there, it's like, it was so, it sounded like there was like stuff hitting my truck and I don't even know what to say about it other than it scared the hell out of me to the point where I don't know if I would go back there again.
Wow.
And that's what you would consider a bluff charge. It sounds like something's coming after you, come crashing through the woods, and then you see nothing and it's not there.
Oh, that's nuts.
Yeah, I was terrified.
Kind of add to that another story. This didn't happen to me personally. This was to my brother. So I can't even remember, it was probably back before summer. I'm sitting at my house or whatever. I'm watching TV. And what happened? I missed a phone call from him. And then he sends me this long ass text message. Like he was up at my mother's house and she has 30 acres that he hunts on or whatever, hikes and, or he was doing food plots at this time. So he's up in the woods and he usually has his dogs will roam from where he's at in the woods back to the house and back and forth or whatever. So he's alone at this point. The dogs return to the house and he's up there and he hears my mother's voice call out to him.
Oh my gosh.
While he's up in the woods and he knows my mom's not home.
That's so like a thing.
And like we talk about, you know, the Wendigo all the time. We talk about Bigfoot, like me and him just shoot it back and forth about cryptids and flesh gates and freaking everything imaginable you can think of, like all this scary stuff. So he's kind of in tune with all that too. So he knew immediately when he heard this voice that sounded like my mother calling out to him, he knew immediately that it wasn't her. And like, it was bad news. So he's like, I ran my ass down the hill like as fast as I could because I knew this was bad news. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm like, holy shit.
Like, can you imagine what is that how some of the missing 411 stuff happens? I mean,
yeah, they probably go to that voice. Like,
yeah. Like what would happen
up in the same area? Like he's had his trail cams messed with and stuff. Like he's, I want to say the one time he was going in between trail cams and he put new batteries in one. Mm-hmm. And he went to the other one, and on the way out, he noticed the battery cover flipped open and they're out. And like shit like that. Like, I'm like, I wouldn't be going up there by myself.
Well, that's like the cloaking stuff that you can't see. Could have been something like that opening the freaking batteries.
He's had a lot of strange experiences. Like, I sent you his story that you plan on sharing on, you know, your podcast.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, in that same house, like, I'll kind of touch base on that too. So we, you know, growing up, we moved around from house to house, you know, not because, you know, we kept losing the house or anything, just we moved a lot. There's this big blue house we referred to as the big blue house, and everybody, you know, all of our friends knew of this house. And so while we're staying there, like everyone in my family kind of had their own weird experience in this house. Like for me, it started like I'd be up late at night on the computer, probably 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And like more than one occasion, I heard my voice, or not my voice, my name, like whispered in my ear. And like every time that happened, I'm like, yep, it's time to go to bed. And I'd go to bed right after that. Like it felt like someone was speaking directly into my ear when this happened. And like, I thought it was just me. Like my mom heard this voice too. And I'm pretty sure my brother did at some point, but I remember me and my mom talking about this and she's like, no, I don't want to scare you, but I've heard this too. Other occasions, and I'll have to back up. I don't remember how this fell, but there was a neighbor girl. Her and her brother would come up every summer and we'd all hang out or whatever. And the one summer she was up and she talked us into like calling the dead. Not like Ouija board, but sitting in a circle and like trying to speak to the dead. So I don't know if this lined up or this happened before or after. So I don't know. I don't remember how this played out.
Oh man.
But
that's like
as
a key part to the story.
Yeah, so
well it could be anyways.
You know, while we're doing this, I remember watching dry paint on the wall formulate and run. Like that's the part that stands out to me the most. I remember that we had a crawl space off of my bedroom, which, you know, the story you read from my brother, his friend ended up staying in there when they lived in the house. Off of my bedroom, there was this little like storage room, but there was this little crawl space door and that shit would open all the time. And like, you would lay in bed upstairs. You would hear it sound like people are walking up and down the stairs, up and down the hallway. Whatever, it felt like there's always something in there walking around. And to add to this, one night my grandfather took me, my brother Brandon, and our brother Mason out to the movies. We're out to the movies or whatever, and my mom's home alone. So she's upstairs. I don't know, we had the kitchen upstairs. It was a weird house. She's up there waiting for us to get home, doing the dishes or whatever. And she hears the door open and close, like we come in. So she hollers down to us and she gets no response, obviously, because we're at the movies. So she comes to the top of the stairs and looks down. She's like, what the hell? That's weird. And we end up showing up like probably half an hour after that. So there was a presence in this house. And, you know, the story that I shared with you about my brother and his experience in there. Years later, you know, after we moved out, my mom bought her first house. We lived there until I graduated, until my brother graduated, so on. My brother graduates, it's around like 2016, 17 or whatever. And him and like four of his buddies end up renting this house. And while they stay there, you know, they have a party one night. This will be the only story I tell of it. You can share the rest and we'll save the rest for your podcast. So they have a party one night and there was like a argument that happened between my brother's girlfriend at the time and one of his friends. And it ended up with him saying, or my brother's friend saying to Brandon's girlfriend, you know, I hope the devil gets you. And that night, Brandon remembers laying in bed and he watched, I don't remember how it played out. I think he watched, or he woke up in the middle of the night and there was this figure standing at the foot of his bed. So he wakes up and he sees this, and he's like kind of thrown off by that. And he watches, there's a closet at the end of his, like be at the foot of his bed almost. Mm-hmm. He watched another like shadowy being crawl across the ceiling. And he's freaked out at this point, to the point like he must have been shaking because he woke his girlfriend up, like just moving.
Yeah.
And she's like questioning him, what's wrong? What's wrong? He's like, nothing, nothing. Just go to bed, go to bed. And he, like, he told me this after, this experience after this happened. He remembers like a figure always being present wherever he was after that. Like,
oh,
and I never, he only told me this one time about the continuations. I'll have to ask him again about it, but like everywhere he went for a while after that, there was a presence.
Oh, that's horrifying. Like
there is always a dark figure around. I don't know if it still, you know, follows him or not.
You need to find out, because we need to like cleanse him and just, because that's not okay.
Yeah, it's, but yeah, that house.
My God.
Now, did you have some experiences of your own that you wanted to chip in there?
Gosh, there's, I've been to some other places that were super weird. Like Pennsylvania is a weird place. And it's, I guess
there's a lot of history in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess I never really realized it until I got into all this stuff and I'm like, wow. And, there's a lot of weird places. So I went to this one place, I can't think of the forest that it's called right now, but, anyways, it's known for some weird stuff. It's like there was a town there back in like a couple hundred years ago. Mm-hmm. And, oh my gosh, I know that like, oh, what the heck? I can't even think of what it's called right now. But anyways, when I was there, I was in there, it was dark out and, you know, and, we're standing there and we'd hear stuff moving in the woods. And we'd talk and we'd hear it move and then we'd be silent and wait for to see, you know, what it was doing. And it would stop every time we'd talk, it would start again. So it was like moving closer to us almost when we were talking. And that's the same place. I've been there 2 or 3 times. And that's the same place where I saw a gray shadow figure just like move up and across the woods. And that was the area that I saw the shadow figure was supposedly where this house burned down. And there was actually someone that was murdered up on the mountain in that area too.
Yeah.
And it was also like a place where there was like industry back in the day. And there was a lot of accidents and stuff like that. I just think there's a lot of bad stuff left over from that where people were killed and things. It's also supposed to be, there's also supposed to be like Bigfoot stuff there too. I know when I went home the first night I was there, I was laying on my back and I was falling asleep and I started hearing like static in my ears and I started hearing like, it was like I could hear a conversation, but I couldn't make out what the people were saying. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that's not something that's common for me ever. And I felt like I was going to start having sleep paralysis. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I need to pull myself out of this. I'm like, yeah. get up, move, like turn on your set. Like, no. And I was able to stop it. But like, if I didn't get out of that, I don't know what kind of sleep paralysis I would have had because it was very unsettling. And the next day when I woke up, I felt like super hungover, just like, and I didn't drink anything that night. I just felt like really drained of energy.
That's wild.
Yeah. That place is, it's Pandemonium. That's what it's called. I'm sorry. I could not remember. Should have wrote this down. I'm a bad guest.
you're not. Yeah. Sleep paralysis is absolutely terrifying to me. Like,
yeah.
Just hearing some of the accounts of, you know, the Hat Man and like the Hag and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. That's like one thing. Like, I hope I've never experienced in my life.
Oh, you never had that?
Mm-mm.
I used to have that. I've had that a handful of times. I'm like, let me knock on wood. I haven't had it in a very long time. But I remember when I get it, I'd be on my back and I wouldn't be able to breathe, like, let alone not being able to move, not being able to breathe, which is just like so scary. And I remember this one time I saw this like dark figure. It was like a cloudy, dark figure come up and just like hover like right on my chest, like right in front of my face. And just like, I was just there and I just couldn't do anything, couldn't breathe. I was absolutely terrified. And I just remember thinking like, wake up, move, move. And then finally I broke out of it. And then there was another time when I was sleeping at my ex-boyfriend's house and I had this, I don't know, I want to call it entity come up. And like, I remember seeing it like over me. I don't think it was as close as the other figure that I had seen. And it was like a cross between like a ghost and like an alien kind of thing. And it was like blue. It was almost like illuminated, like blue. And I saw it over me and I had sleep paralysis and I was absolutely terrified. I remember when I finally broke out of it, I woke up, I was terrified. And then I passed right back out and fell right back to sleep, which is like such a common thing. If you like listen to people's stories of people having all these scary things, I don't know if you've heard it, but they have all this stuff and then they just fall right back to sleep. And I remember listening to something. This is the only time I've ever heard it. And I don't remember where I heard it, but it was something like when paranormal activity happens, it releases some kind of like chemical and it just allows you to fall back to sleep. But that's all I know about it.
That's wild. I was thinking like whatever was hovering above you was draining you of your energy.
That's true.
And that would make sense why, you know, these victims fall directly to sleep after that.
Yeah, because you'd think you'd be, you know, you'd be wide awake, but that totally makes sense. I never even really thought about it. That's a really good point.
And if you, like, if anyone's ever read into all this, like, this is widespread across, like, the world. Like, these figures that people see, and like they're all relevant to each other, and it's crazy to think how massive this whatever you want to call it entity is. Because what is it? I don't want to say the Philippines. It don't sound right, but there's
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the country where that city was all exposed to this. I think a lot of people died, didn't they?
Yeah, it was what was based off of like Freddy Krueger, right?
That sounds about right.
Going to sleep. And then you die in your sleep. Yeah, that's the thing.
That's where the
nobody
plot came from for Freddy Krueger. Yeah. I hope I never experience that. It sounds absolutely terrible and horrifying.
Don't sleep on your back.
I sleep on my side, so I should be all right.
Okay, good.
You know, we're getting close to the end of this episode, but I want to give you a moment if you want to talk about your future plans with your podcast.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff you're going to try to put out.
Yeah. I feel like if we've been talking for like 10 minutes and it's already an hour, I don't even know where the heck the time just went. But, well, first of all, I want to say thank you so much. And thank you to Sabrina also. I wish she was here tonight. You guys just let me come in and be like, hey, come join the team. And I'm like, sure, which is just so awesome. Love it. Yeah, I just appreciate so much. But so I, for my podcast, I want to go out and do some investigation type stuff. Like, you know, it's not going to be any scientific stuff, but, you know, I'm going to go out in the woods and see what happens. And I have some people lined up for interviews already. And I want to focus heavy on people's like paranormal experiences.
Definitely.
Yeah. and just kind of just chat with them and see where the conversation takes us. And hopefully people will like it.
Now, for anyone trying to reach out to you to share their personal experiences or, you know, guest on your show, you know, how can they reach you?
So I have a Instagram set up right now and I have a email account. Both of them are midnight_in_the_mountains. And that is my Instagram handle. And then midnight_in_the_mountains@yahoo.com. So I made the match. So got lucky that I was able to do that. And you could just shoot me an email. Tell me your story. You can tell me if you would like to come on for an episode. If not, you can just type it up. And I would like to eventually do listener episodes, maybe like once a month if I get enough emails. And you can leave it anonymous. You can make up a name, leave your real name, do whatever you want. It's no big deal. And yeah.
Now we do have an option if you go to, you know, our website, Creepy Unsolved, and you're on the main screen, there is that microphone option to leave Laura a, you know, a voicemail telling your story. So we have that too for you. Yeah, that's going to do it for tonight. So I just want to give a quick thank you to everyone who joined us live. We appreciate you spending the past hour with us. You know, we'll see you here again next week on Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Do you have any last words, Laura?
No, not really. Oh, I mean, I could talk about this stuff forever. So nothing right now. No, just other than thank you. And thank you to the people that are listening. And hopefully I don't sound too horrible. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me here tonight, Laura.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Creepy Unsolved. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to hear more like it, please leave us a rating and review on whatever platform you are listening from. This will help our podcast grow. Also, be sure to subscribe, follow, and share the podcast. If you have an interesting story or would like to be a guest on a future episode of Creepy Unsolved, please reach out to us through Instagram or Facebook at Creepy Unsolved, or send us an email at creepyunsolvedmedia@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.